Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together, and we just pray for just your Holy Spirit, God, to deliver your word. And you have much to say to us. You have water and food for us, and so we pray you would feed us today. Open our hearts, God, for whatever you have to say. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was actually thinking about the movies, superhero movies. You know, I love superhero movies, and there's just a lot of them. But I think everybody would probably agree that that the genre of superhero movies that are coming out, and it's a lot of it is just old comic characters, you know, and what's happening. And I think what happened in the comic world and what's happening just in general, what has been happening for many, many years, is superheroes have become dark. It's kind of like in to be dark, you know? And we like Batman a little darker than his old days. We like Superman to be dark, right? And I never thought the day would come when Superman would turn dark. God forbid that Captain America goes dark. You know, it's like, because he's just one of my favorite guys. And, you know, I don't know. I would lose hope in all things movies if Captain America went dark. But well, he's like the beacon of, like, kindness or something. But I have noticed that this trend, and I think many of you probably did as well. And it's like they have this incredible power, but you don't have to be all that good to have it. Like, you know, it's like, and we empathize because we want lots of power, and we really don't really want to change. I mean, we want to have lots of power, and we're kind of dark, and we think we can have lots of power and be kind of dark too. I mean, there's like a little bit of an empathy there, right? And so, if anything about the Christian life. And when we talked, you know, last week about what it means to be a Christian, you know, just tracing back, we're almost shocked, you know, that being a Christian is not just saying some, you know, incantations like, oh, Jesus is Lord, oh, I'm a Christian now. You know, like I said the magic words. Like, and for some reason, we're shocked that it's so radical. Like Jesus literally has to be your Lord. And you have to renounce all things. You have to take up your cross and follow him. I mean, we're like so shocked. In the world of tolerance, in a world of kind and gentler things, where you can be kind of dark and be a superhero, you know? We're so shocked to hear from Scripture that you have to be radical. And so the requirements of God. I mean, and this is literally the gospel. Take all the requirements from the Old Testament, multiply that by a whole bunch. And so when we became a Christian, we almost heard that, well, you don't have to meet those requirements anymore. Jesus did. So you're like, you got a free pass. You could like be this dark and brooding guy with lots of power. So God would promise you power through the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and people like sometimes just name it and claim it. And we're shocked that we actually would have to die. We'd have to humble ourselves. We have to literally just renounce, right? Just utterly be low, brought down, broken up. We're so surprised that God requires that. And here's the shocking thing. Like, the requirements of God didn't go away. We're going to read that. It says, be holy as I am holy. What it is it's not that the requirements went away. The radical thing about becoming a Christian is he's given us the Holy Spirit. He's made us one now, right? So that we can fulfill the requirements of God. That's shocking. It is. In the old days, you can kind of do a few ritual things and convince yourself that you kind of met the requirements of God. You were deluded into thinking that. And God was like, well, it's not enough. I need your heart. So now you literally have to go and say, God, I surrender myself. Like everything I have is yours, right? And you have to now, you know, take up your cross and follow him. That's a lot harder than in the Old Testament. So you're kind of thinking to yourself, as we think about what it means to be a Christian, you're probably thinking, wow, that's like, that's a lot more than what I bargained for. I thought that God would give me power, and kind of like in the movies, just accept the fact that I'm dark a little bit. I have my issues. I don't know if I'm really, you know, all that into like completely renouncing myself, but, or even humbling myself. It's surprising that God is constantly, circumstance after circumstance after circumstance, breaking us down. It's like life is like one big basic training. And we're going to talk about some things today, because at the end of the day, there's good news, okay? Now, we're going to try to paint the reality of what God said, and then we're going to take like just this drink of hope that we have in that invitation. The title of the sermon is Battery versus Plug-in Power. I realized a little while back that not all laptops were made the same. There are laptops, when you plug in the laptop, okay? I mean, all laptops, when you plug it in, you know, I mean, supposedly you should have power. But there were some laptops I would plug in, and if I didn't have the battery in, I wouldn't get power. And what it was is, back in the day, you would still be using battery power, and if, you know, if you plugged it in, it would just charge the battery. That would be, the computer was still using battery power. It wasn't like bypassing it, go to, you know, like the plug-in power. But needless to say, I think we kind of have this idea. When I talk to you about being a disciple and we talk about the requirements of God, all of a sudden, I know what you're thinking. You're like overwhelmed because you don't have that big of a battery. Maybe some of you is like a AA battery. And some of you guys are like D batteries. And some of you are lithium batteries, you know, like right out of the, you know, the Prius or something. And some of you are like the, you know, Elon Musk type of batteries. I mean, everybody is creative. I mean, you know when you meet people, some people just have bigger batteries. God is not a respecter of batteries, though, because the requirements of God far exceeds any battery. So whatever battery you think you got, it really is kind of irrelevant. Because everything, when you hear stuff, oh, we got, you know, hey, let's all do this. Hey, let's open up your house. Hey, let's give. Hey, let's forgive. You got to forgive. Or how about this? And how about, you're like, whoa, my battery can only do so much. And so you're like automatically overwhelmed. I got to work. I got to do this. I come home and you got to what? Right? The mom, the wife is ready to hand over the kid. The husband is like, not another thing to do. Okay? Not another thing. So we have this clash of exhaustion. And we look at the Christian life as if God is like demanding more from your battery. And you only got so much in your battery. The good news is, yes, the requirements far exceeds, okay, the capacity of your battery. That is true. There's good news. I'm going to read. This is Kronos Incorporated. Kronos is a HR company, okay? And it's just citing a study, a massive study. As a matter of fact, it is like the thing. If you're in the world of HR, human resources, hiring people, firing people, and all hospitals, all big companies, all medium-sized companies, they're all grappling with this one thing, staff exhaustion. In the world of productivity, we've gotten so good at eking out, okay? We measure everybody's battery, and we kind of know what they are. Now we have completely, like, are just exhausting our staff. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then we're saying, well, don't, okay, let's downsize that a little bit, because, like, everybody's leaving. And then let's, like, measure that and see how much productivity we can ask for, how much flexibility, how much, and that's become a science now. HR analytics, okay? It's the new thing. All right, and here's the guy that wrote this article, okay? Dan Guthrow. So here's the go. The biggest threat to building an engaged workforce in 2017, things haven't changed because we talk about it in our organization, is employee burnout. The newest study found 95% of human resource leaders admit employee burnout is sabotaging workforce retention, yet there is no obvious solution on the horizon. It's like, you got to do a million things, but you can only hire 10 people. And 10 people can't do a million things. And so therefore, they're like, okay, so how do we only, expect to do 1,000? Well, if you only do 1,000 things, there are people right now in India and China that could do those million things and hire a million people, and it's maybe cheaper than hiring your 10 people. That's what we're grappling with in this world. And there is no solution on the horizon. It's kind of sad. And so then you go to a workplace like this, okay, who has to compete in that workforce, and then you come home, you're exhausted, right? And you just got handed the baby, right? It's like I'm drowning, right, in the ocean, and you just got handed a baby. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, now, you know, try to, like, you know, stay above water. Or you're the mom. You're the one who's drowning, right? And you would think, okay, because you got the baby, right? You're barely floating, right? Your husband comes home and he goes into his man cave, right? It's like, checks out. And we have this, like, and so we are expecting from one another more than we can give, more than we could just honestly, like, think that we can just give. And it's a problem. I think we can all agree that this is probably at the heart of the issues of the Christian life. George MacDonald, you know, famous pastor, poet, you know, literary type as well. This is what he says. It is our best work that God wants, not the dregs of our exhaustion. I think he must prefer quality to quantity. I don't know if he lived in the modern age, right? But I think this is a... Now, I think it's true, but I think... You know, honestly, I think the modern world brings just some unique sets of challenges when it comes to the area of exhaustion. Now, I got to add fuel to the fire before we get to the, you know, what God is saying. Because the requirements of God, it's just exhausting. It is. I'm going to lay it out to you. If you decide to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you want to say, I want to be a Christian, and you want to run away from requirements because all of a sudden you think, okay, battery, requirements. Okay, right, okay. Like, you know instinctively what you can give. You do. Right? And so you are, in every way, you do that calculation. Battery, okay, I know the output, how long it can go. Requirements, forgiving that, I can forgive this, I can't forgive that. I can give this amount, I can't give that amount. I can maybe do the laundry and the dishes, but not three times in a row. And if you live with people, if you are married, if you have coworkers, there's a point, isn't there, when, like, your battery's down and you can't give any more than you can give, all right? And then you do that thing, right? When, you know, battery gets depleted and more is required, you do that, you know. We have a breakdown. Now, 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth." Wow. Did he just go there with "be holy as I am holy"? I thought that the requirements of the Old Testament were gone. Be holy, conduct your life. I mean, it's like the things that I need to recharge that battery, you know, like a little Netflix once in a while, maybe every night, but you know, maybe the binge on Netflix, right? Maybe the binge. That'll recharge that battery, right? Do an entire series, like, you know, 24-hour marathon. That'll like supercharge that battery, right? Take your phone to the bathroom. That's the place that I recharge, right? Isn't that like what we think, right? Right? Ooh. You know, we almost like look forward to going to the bathroom now. You know, it's like, ooh, okay. You know, it's like, all right. I mean, that's the way we think. We got to get that thing recharged. And then we get hooked. Everything we do is like deplete, recharge. We're like a rechargeable battery. And it's like, be holy. Well, I can only do, right? I got to get recharged. All right, I come home, I got to get recharged. I mean, it's like this vicious cycle. And then it's almost like God seems kind of mean that he would require more than we can give. On top of that, he says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It almost like, wait a minute. How about recharge? Right? Our normal, like how about shopping, you know, online surfing? Like how about all those things that helps me to recharge? Like, I don't know if that glorifies God. And then this 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. God like cuts us off at the knees. If we live and serve and do things coming from that battery, God is not glorified. You got to plug in. Like battery power stuff, God is not glorified. And here's the thing, okay? I've been a Christian. I've been around Christians that purport all manners of Holy Spirit power, okay? I you know, it's like at the end of the day, you know. When you meet people, you know what kind of power they're running on. Doesn't matter what giftings they have. You know, okay, because they'll have power to forgive. They'll have power to serve. They'll have in ways that defies battery logic. And you know when you're serving on battery. And here's another kicker. So you have to serve, okay, plugged into the power of God. And not just on battery power. Now, on this side of heaven, are we going to be perfect in that? No. What God is saying, you're going to grow in that. And there's another requirement. If God has you doing things, okay, it's not enough that God says, you got to go and do some things. You got to go and serve. You got to give. But he's like, serve the Lord with gladness. That's a command. Now you got to be happy about it. All right, open up your wallet. Okay, smile. All right, and give. Go over there and help somebody move. Smile and do it. And you're going to like it. Come into his presence with singing. And here's the thing. Know that the Lord is, he is God. It is he who made us. And what? And we are his. You're going to serve with gladness because I own you. That's what this says. Like if you're his, he owns you. That's why he's going to say you're going to have to serve with gladness. Well, I mean, how about if I'm exhausted because my battery is just completely depleted and I'm barely like, now this is the way I serve. I don't have pep in my step. Add insult to injury. Not only will you serve with gladness, this is what God says. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, because of the abundance of all things, therefore, you shall serve your enemies. Oh, you think God's a little serious about that? Okay, first of all, you got to serve. Then you got to serve in the strength that he provides. And then you got to serve with gladness. No room for mumbling there, right? If you serve your husband, if you serve your wife, a lot of that mumbling, God's like, okay, I'm not helping you with that. God says, you got to serve your enemies. A new commandment I give to you. Now, this is a new commandment, okay, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And here's the thing. In the old days, it was just enough to love. But God, Jesus says, here's a new commandment. Not only are you going to love just to love, like just in a, but you're going to love in a way that I, just as I have loved, which means how did Jesus love? He actually sacrificed himself. You know what I'm saying? He like poured himself out. That's new, right? It's like, is he honestly just taking this up a notch here? You are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. This is the great equalizer, folks. Here's the thing, all right? You can get a PhD. You can, you know, you can be knowledgeable. You can have been a Christian for 30 years. This is not one of those secret things. Because people, you know what I'm saying? Like people say, hey, do you feel served by Henry? Do you feel loved by him? You know what I mean? Does he go out of his way? Is he generous? Like everybody out there, you're going to make your own judgments on that. People will know. It's not like, oh, I can like, you know, like pretend like I have spiritual powers and discernments and I'll say stuff to you. But like, do I love as Jesus loves? Does he begrudge you because he served you? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is the great equalizer. Because this is what he cares about. Jesus, you know why? Because when you go to heaven, everybody has a PhD. Everybody will have knowledge. Everybody will have superhuman strength. Everybody will have superhuman, you know, spiritual powers. No need for rack stack, okay, ranking of people. This is what you're going to want. Okay? This is the focus. Now all the while, you have the picture of the battery. It's like, oh my gosh, right? Because as I say things, you're still thinking about the battery. And here's the thing. Hebrews 10:21, and since we have a great priest, Jesus Christ, over the house of God, let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Okay. Because we have Christ who's going to mediate this oneness, this plug-in-ness we have with God, because if anything about the gospel is that you're no longer an individual, you no longer exist as an individual. Okay? The battery thing is an individual thing. Plug in, okay? Okay? He is the source of power. We can brag all you want about, you know, I have a great battery. Good for you. All right? My boast is that I don't have a good battery. I don't. Okay? I'm recently finding out that I can trust God to study and do things, and because if God wants me to study, he will help me to study, because I've never been, you know, like an honest studier. I'm finding that God is very helpful. I'm finding that God, if he wants me to do it, he's very helpful. And so my confidence in God grows, and my confidence in my battery, okay, wanes as I get older. But that's the way it should be. You know why? Because if you have a great priest over the house of God, he is now saying, hey, like, if you see, you know what this is literally saying? It's like, people who don't have faith in plug-in power, it's like saying, hey, like, you got plug-in. You see people with battery, like runs on battery, and say, hey, stop the battery thing, right? Like, you can actually plug in. Go and find a plug. Hebrews 3:12 says, take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, an unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, Notice something here. It's not the plug-in isn't just to God. It's like you got to plug in to each other. That is the great embarrassment of the message of the gospel preached today. Like, I have so many people who think that they could be good with God and be completely uninvolved intimately with other people, other brothers and sisters, not be like this and think that that's, you know, me and God, like, that's what I need. That's all I need. Like, we honestly don't think that people don't, I don't need somebody to tell me or require things of me. Because one thing about exhorting one another is, like, when you're in a community, people need things from you. They need your help. You know? They need you to be there for them. You got to show up to things, right? Because showing up, that's exactly what it said, right, in the previous verse. It says, do not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Exhorting and encouraging, you know, half the battle is just showing up and being there for one another. God designed it so that in the gospel, this is when you read John 17, it's like Jesus is like, I'm going to the cross so that they could be one with us, Father. This is the prayer of Jesus. And so that they can be perfectly one together. It takes the cross to be one together. It takes the cross so that you could be a trusted person. And not only that, but it takes the cross so that we could then together plug together. Right? So as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, for we have come to share in Christ if we indeed hold our original confidence for him to the end. Here's the thing. Like, we can't hold confidence in Christ by ourselves. Church is not a loose affiliation. And so it is come to share in the sufferings of Christ, becoming like him in his death. So, now, many of you, as we talk about that, wow, becoming one with people that are not in your family, that sounds exhausting, honestly. That is very exhausting. You know, especially people who are really dysfunctional. I'm dysfunctional, and I got to now become one with somebody else who's dysfunctional. Talk about a recipe for exhaustion. But here's the promise, okay? Here's the good news, right? And so now Jesus knows that. You know what I'm saying? God has expressed all these requirements. Take up your cross, right? Forgive one another. Leave your gift at the altar. Go and, like, you know, like 70 times seven. Serve. You got to serve with gladness, right? Serving the strength that God provides. Like all these things. And people are like, man, I thought if I became a Christian, I didn't have to do all that. I thought I can just eke by into heaven, you know, passively get there. I mean, honestly, that's the gospel that's being preached out there. Many people think, no, it's like, it's almost shocking to think that God, when you become a Christian, now enables you to meet those requirements. Not get rid of the requirements so you can passively enter into heaven. It's shocking, isn't it? That's radical. But when you read the gospel, it's absolutely like right in your face. Because it's not just other people saying it, it's like Jesus himself saying it. And Jesus says this, though, and here's the good news. Talking to the Samaritan woman, he says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him. When you drink that water, it's a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So that water becomes a part of you, and it actually becomes a spring. It's like, you're now getting the Holy Spirit inside of you, and the water will now flow. And here's the evil, okay? In Jeremiah 2:13, it says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns. Cisterns are containers, right? People that dig out, that hold water. Basically, it's like a water basin. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know what evil is? when you keep going back and recharging your battery. That's what evil is. The whole point is God, you know, God giving you a new heart, giving you the Holy Spirit, so that the water, like, you just keep thinking, like, I got to get recharged if I'm going to do more for Jesus, if I'm going to live or I'm going to take care of my family. I got to get recharged. So we keep going back to the broken cistern. We keep wanting to get that battery recharged. Like, that's the model that we still run with. And so every time, like, you know, whether it's like somebody's saying something, you're like, not yet another requirement. Not yet another requirement. It's like, God, will these requirements ever stop? I'm so exhausted. Okay, so the good news is that we got to go to the source. Okay, the source comes together as a people and plugging together as a people to God. We can't individually plug in. Okay? It's like, if you have a picture, the plug is actually, all right, the gathering of people that plug in. If you try to individually plug in, you can't plug in. That grates against people who want to do this by themselves. But you can't, because Jesus says that. John 7:37, it's not the only place in John, you know, John 7:37 says it again. It says, if anyone thirsts, do you remember what we talked about? Coming to Jesus is a thirsting for Jesus. So if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and what? Drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Well, okay, you're making it hard now. You mean I got to come to Jesus to have power for this life, to meet the requirements? Yeah, like, that's just like the thing of a disciple, actually. Like, that's like the main thing here. Learning how to be one with God. Like, thinking deeply about, like, why I'm not getting the power and why the batteries keep failing me. God, if you are God's child, situation after situation after situation after situation, that is my testimony, by the way, of battery failing, failing, failing. You just don't have enough. You just don't have that. Matthew 11:28. Now you begin to, like, okay, so are you exhausted yet? For all those people who really care about what Jesus says, what Scripture says, here's the invitation. Just close your eyes. This is Jesus talking now. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what yoke is? Yoke is a connector. It's like, come and connect with me. Are you exhausted? Well, I don't know. I just can't pray. It's hard for me to connect. Come and connect. It's like we almost, it's like, well, I'm not good at that. Well, I mean, God, Jesus, well, you know what? Like Mary and Martha, well, Mary chose the better part. Martha was doing wonderful, fine things. She was just, you know what it was? She was doing it in battery power. She wasn't plugged in, and she was like complaining. She wasn't serving with joy or gladness or in the strength that Jesus provided. I mean, it was just Jesus like, well, you know what? You need to set up my feet. Whatever you got going on, you got to connect. You got to yoke. That's what that word means. All right, when two cattle, you know, that thing that connects them so that, you know, the chore is easier, that's a yoke. And Jesus is saying, come and yoke with me. Right? And then when we begin to see it like that, it's like, it is so urgent. Your battery, what do you do when your laptop battery light comes on? Right? It's like, plug in, right? And sometimes that's the only time we plug in, right? It's just that some things, right? Requires so much processing power, so much. It's like your battery is just going to get completely drained. Like it's battery, it's not supposed to, you know, it's not, our battery is there, right? Not as a, you know, a source to be trusted and dependent. You should be very suspicious of that. Matter of fact, believing, the definition of faith is a coming to Jesus for water. Look, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And what does it say? Whoever believes in me, what? Shall never thirst. If you believe in Jesus, right, and you don't know what it's like to drink from Jesus, to have power to meet his requirements, you don't believe. It's okay. Like, it's okay to say, you know what? I don't know if I really believe. Not in that way. I mean, I know it to be true, which is different. But there is a believing that says, I'm exhausted. And going to Jesus, man, when I do that, I can do some things. That's believing. And it's okay to say, you know what? I really didn't believe. Because because connecting with Jesus, it was a very difficult thing. Oh, we got to work that out, don't we? Like, you know when you receive power. You know when your battery is plugged in or not. You know when your laptop is plugged in. You just know when you know. And believing is being plugged in. Like you're drinking now. Right? You're receiving the source of water. And heaven is depicted this way. The new earth and the new heaven. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will come a time. I mean, every time we sing of home, you know, it's like, it's just every fiber of my being is like longs for home. It is hard work, you know. It's like to not give in to the lesser thing. The lesser, you know, because it is. What God is saying, it is evil. What is evil is self-reliance. Recharging your battery is self-reliance. It is an independent spirit. To recharge that, okay, to escape to your den or to, okay, sink into your chair, whatever it is, whether you go to your games, whatever it is that you had to recharge, that is saying, you know what, God, I don't even know if you really give me that. You know, your living waters, I mean, like your well is like, I don't know, I can't get to it. You're kind of a mean God. You don't really give me water. You don't give me what I need. So I'm going to go and recharge that. You would have to believe that God offers water in order to go and drink water. And when you get water, you'll know you got water. I mean, it's not like theoretically I should be getting water, but I'm just going to go and recharge. But I'm a Christian. There's dissonance, isn't there? It's like, oh, wait a minute. Like, maybe I'm not a Christian if I never really discover that. Because if you've been a Christian for 30 years and you still have never gone to the well, and you keep going to broken cisterns, recharging that same old battery, what do you think? What do you think? It's not, because when you plug in, you know what the Bible says? You transform. You grow. That's the promise. In your exhaustion, if you discover strength, what is it? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Philippians 3:10. You know what that means? You discover power through suffering, through dying. Isn't that baptism? And then it says what? Becoming like him. You transform. you're different. Like, you know, we can justify whatever it is that we justify. It's like, if you haven't been transforming, you just got to stop and go, whoa, stop the madness. Stop the PhDs. Stop the, you know, I've been a Christian forever. Stop that I'm like, you know, I go to Henry's house every day. Stop. Nobody comes to my house every day, except my wife. Okay? It's just, you know, we just like say, you know, like, God, if I die like this, I don't want to die like this, because this is why we're here. To learn, to grow, and to transform, because in heaven you can't do that. You don't do that in heaven. So what is next then? Okay? Romans 12, 6 through 8 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. That chapter, and even before it, it talks about a measure of faith. So here it is, folks. We now serve, do, okay, utilize the gifts. Okay, and here's what Paul is saying about what Jesus is saying. He's literally saying, okay, we do because we have faith to do. We don't wait around to feel like it. Here's the thing. We're never going to feel like dying. We're never going to feel like adding, okay, to my generosity. We're never going to feel like serving sacrificially. If we're passively waiting for God to help us feel like it, then we're going to wait and we're going to die like that. We are. But faith is doing something. It's like pitching your sail, knowing that the wind will come. It's opening the door, getting into your room, opening up that book and studying, or at least starting to study. It's going to work, beginning your work, and say, God, if you don't show up, I'm going to run on battery power. It's doing that. It's reconnecting with God as you come home and driving, knowing, okay, you're depleted. Right? We can talk about why you got depleted at work. Okay, there's a whole set of sermons there. Okay, but let's just say you are exhausted driving to work and you got a million things, okay? All that honey-do lists, you got things to do, and you know you got to roll up your sleeves and you just don't have faith for it. And you know, and because you don't have faith for it, what are you going to do? You're going to go and plug in. Recharge your batteries. And instead of crying out to God, God, I got five things you're going to want me to do when I get home. And I'm going to be exhausted. And if you don't show up, I'm not going to be able to do them. And I'm not going to do them in the strength you provide, and I'm not going to do it with gladness. But here's the thing, God. I believe you want me to do them. And I'm going to do them. Knowing that you're going to show up, I'm going to pitch my cell. I'm going to get in front of that sink. I'm going to turn on that water. I'm going to soap my pads, and I'm going to begin doing the dishes. And God, you're going to show up. I trust you. I'm going to go, and I'm going to play. I'm going to, you know, change the diet. Whatever it is. Whatever it is when you're exhausted. Okay? And then if God doesn't show up, don't say, God, okay, you don't show up, I'm going to go recharge my batteries. I'm going to cut off all things that have to do with church, or, you know, all things that have to, you know, because, God, you're just unfaithful. Don't do that. If God wasn't showing up, first and foremost, God, what haven't I renounced? What is it? Why aren't you showing up? Because God doesn't always show up. That's true. We're going to talk more about that a little bit. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. A lot of that, what is Paul saying? Like, take your step of faith. Not because you feel like it, because you believe it. Show up, not because you feel like it, because you believe it. Apologize, not because you feel like it, because you believe you should apologize.
And here's the thing, folks. That is what it means to believe. That's why it's called a step of faith. And what Paul is advocating is, hey, in proportion to your faith, if you got this much faith, then take that much step. And then as you grow in that, then take a bigger step. And then a bigger step. Life, we live by faith. But that faith is a step of faith. Faith is not knowing things, passively waiting to feel like it. That is not faith. And if you've been lacking faith, just, you know, it's okay. Because I'm praying the same prayers. God, I don't believe you. I don't believe you enough to take that step. I don't believe you enough to cut that check. I don't believe you enough to extend that hand of forgiveness. I don't believe you. God can take it. Now, here's the thing. Then you pray, God, help me in my unbelief. And then take smaller steps, right? And here's the thing, and know that he is God. And know that he is faithful. I promise you, he will show up. Because you will know that he is God. You will know that you are made for this. Luke 14:27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? So the point here is what? If you are coming to God, the reason why sometimes it's difficult, because you know you got to count the cost and take up your cross. That's why we love dark superheroes, because they don't have to count the cost. They don't have to take up their cross. They can just have lots of power. They don't have to be kind. They don't have to apologize. But you know deep inside, when you are going to connect to Christ, you have to now renounce. You have to repent. You have to take up your cross. And that, well, I'd rather recharge my battery. And that would be what we do. Almost every day. We just go and recharge our batteries because, I don't know, renouncing all, counting the cost. Here's the thing. So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. I don't want to hear that from Jesus when I connect with him. I'll just go and charge my battery. And then Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And here's the thing. Because you know when you go to Christ, okay, to plug in, you have to deny yourself, and you're going to have to what? Prioritize the kingdom. Here's what God's not going to do. God, I am completely exhausted, right? Doing all things selfish, living for me and my family, right? Putting us in this very, very plush place, driving my nice cars, right? Trying to make a name for myself. And I'm exhausted. I'm not going to give any of that up, you know? I mean, you still have a part in my life. You're not the priority. I need your help. And Jesus says, seek first. Like, okay? Seek first. If God is not giving you strength, okay, to make him a part of your life, just think, do I really seek first the kingdom and prioritize that? Right? Am I really renouncing? Am I giving the leftovers? Leftover kingdom life will not receive strength. 1 Corinthians 4:1. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ, and here's the thing, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Do you know what faithfulness is? exactly what we've been talking about, taking steps of faith. Step of faith to prioritize your life, okay? Taking steps to renounce and deny yourself. And I promise you, okay, that is the only path towards love and good deeds. Serving in the strength that he provides and with the gladness of heart. And Philippians 1, 5, and 6, here's the assurance of salvation. Paul puts it, okay? Now, the reason why Paul understands the gospel, according to John 17, I would say this is one of the key verses. It says, because of your partnership, this is koinonia, this is the same word as fellowship, okay? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You know, I hear that taken out of context quite often, to be used as, you know, verse to assure people that they're disciples. People who are independent in spirit, who do not want to become one. And they use it to say, well, whoever, you know, he who began a good work in you will take it to completion. Oh, you're not in partnership. Unfortunately, you know, because, I wish the word because wasn't there. Because of your partnership, so, let's summarize. All disciples live by faith by taking steps of faith to meet the requirements of God in oneness with God and his people, denying self and prioritizing the kingdom, discovering the resurrection power, joy, and the rest of God. This is the picture of baptism and the invitation to kingdom life. All disciples live by faith, by taking steps of faith to meet the requirements of God in oneness with God and his people, denying self and prioritizing the kingdom, discovering then the resurrection power, joy, and the rest of God. This is the picture of baptism and the invitation to kingdom life. We have great hope, folks. If we come to Jesus, if we lack faith even to what? Take steps of faith. We say, God, help me in my unbelief. So I'll take steps of faith to deny myself, to prioritize the kingdom. If we lack faith to go and apologize, if we lack faith, right? If we lack faith that when I come home after a grueling work and I got 10 things I got to do, if I lack faith for that, then say, God, help me. Not to escape, but help me now to take steps of faith, to do the things. Because you know why? Half the problem, most of the problem, is just showing up. Just go. Open the book. Go. Get in front of the kitchen sink. Go and, you know, just show up to where you need to be. And God, I help you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are faithful. And as stewards of the mysteries of the gospel, you require us to be faithful. But that's good news for us, God, because your promise is to now complete whatever you began. And I just need to show up. I just need to pitch the sail. I just need to trust you. And I pray now, God, by your name, I pray now you would break the chains of the independent spirit that would just crave and demand our own batteries get recharged. God, we just don't have faith to plug in to one another and together plug into you. we lack faith in that. And we just need your help. Help us in our unbelief. And so we come to you, God. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We do, God. And just renew our minds, God. Give us great faith. Help us to fulfill the purpose for which we're here. In Jesus' name, amen.